I want to just begin to share with you, beginning with the vision for 2009. I'm going to start today. And I want to just share with you what's on my heart and talk from my heart, share some scripture, and believe God to speak to you. You know, I've often said we want to hear a voice behind the voice. You hear my voice, but please hear in my voice and behind my voice the voice of God speaking to you from the Word. Amen? Because, you know, we preach, we teach, we do lots of different things, and we want to just encourage the people of God to have ears to hear. Say, have ears to hear. I mean, it's easy when you hear somebody preach like your pastor all these years and every week, and, you know, it can go in this ear and out the other ear. But it's very important to never let that happen. Never let the word go through one ear and out the other ear, or let the word fall to the ground. And in just doing prayer and preparation for this week and this year, what's been in my heart is this phrase, first things first. Say, first things first.
First things first.
And I began to do a study last week. And sometimes I find that word studies can be very enlightening, where you use a concordance, whether it's a book or computer-based concordance, and go through the Bible studying key words. And so I began to look at the word first. And I read every instance of the word first through the Bible, every scripture. Now, I scanned some, read some more carefully. But you begin to realize when you look at certain words and begin to think about what's on God's heart, what God's plan is, that God has an agenda. You believe this?
Yes.
He has an agenda. We have agendas that help us determine what we're going to do first, second, third, that give us a sense of order and sequence in life. But God has his own agenda. And so I'm going to call this series of messages next few weeks, First Things First, Living by God's Agenda. Say, living. By God's agenda. Let's go to a familiar passage of scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you what I have found in my discovery through the word, certain laws. Now, by law, I don't mean law of Moses. I don't mean Old Testament law. I don't mean bondage. I mean laws like principles. Principles like the principle of gravity, the principle of, you know, sowing and reaping. And there are laws like that which we need. In fact, that work for us or against us. And the thing about life we've all discovered, if you ignore certain things, those things will come back to bite you. The things you ignore, the things you think that don't have any importance or consequence, become the most consequential things of all. So I'm going to give you just four laws today. There's a whole lot more. I'm going to give you just a few today to get us thinking about what I believe God is saying. First of all, is a law of increase. Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? The answer is yes. Life is more than food and clothing. Look at the birds of the field, of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Are you? That's a question. Say, I'm more valuable than birds. Which of you by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, how many of you can get taller by worrying? How many can get thinner by worrying? You can get fatter by worrying. I know that's a fact. You don't get no thinner. You get fatter. All right. Continuing in the text, verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Continuing, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus, in this discourse, makes the case that the birds have no worries and the lilies, you know, have no concerns. And yet, here we are concerned and worried about what we're going to eat and drink. And yet, the Lord himself already is concerned about us and already takes care of us. But the main text here, as shown in the highlight here is verse 23, but seek first the kingdom of God. And we've read this scripture to you for years and years, and you've read it yourself many times over and over again. But I'm going back to the Bible and show you how important first is when God says first. God's first trumps everybody else's first. God's first makes everything, everybody second, third, fourth, fifth, on down the line. And that there is, through the Bible, there is a revelation on blessings, in this case, a law of increase, principles that will cause our lives to be blessed and purposeful when we recognize the reality that God's agenda must become our agenda. Now, listen, God promised you this. He said that I'll give you desires of your heart. Remember that? God promised he would help and bless us all. So don't be concerned about if I serve God but miss out on something. I mean, before I got saved, I thought that, man, if I go to church all the time, I'll be a church boy. And I'll miss all the fun in life. And I'll miss out on, you know, I won't be able to do this and go there and all the rest. And yet, you know, I didn't know that really, that when I got saved, I became more free, began to have more fun. Because thing is, when you're crazy, it's hard to have fun. When you're oppressed by the devil, you ain't having no fun. You know what I'm saying? When you're sick and fearful and afraid to go to bed at night and afraid to turn out the light. I mean, that's no fun. So the fact is, you know, we often complain about, people are concerned about missing out on something. But all you're going to miss is sin and trouble and depression and the devil and Satan and the flesh and all that mess. I mean, you're going to miss stuff you won't even miss. So that here's the key here. The law of increase in this text is quite simple. Just seek first the kingdom. But what does that mean? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom? Well, we hope to give you scripture and truth and make that scripture more relevant to you than ever has been before. Because as it says plainly, if we do this, if we seek the kingdom and righteousness, all these things, say these things. What does all mean? Does all mean part? Does all mean 80%? It means everything. And yet how many of us can say that all things have been added to me? Probably not. And not because God didn't want you to have some stuff. Sometimes that's the case, the timing isn't right, but more than that is that we've not really been seeking the kingdom as much as we say that we do. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't have as much faith as we say we have, all the faith in the world. Well, try having faith in God. So that we have to get away from just talking about what we have and who we are and begin to live like it and begin to look like it and begin to express to God that we respect his agenda. And I'm willing to put first things first. The law of increase. Another scripture I'm going to share with you is the law of love. Turn to Matthew 22, or it's on the screen if you want to just take notes this morning. That's fine as well. Jesus said to him, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. First things first. Law of love. He says this is the first commandment. Now commandments, a commandment is an order from which there's no retreat, about which there's no choice. That's a commandment. Like an order, a person in the military, when they give you an order, you have to follow the order. There's no choice. There is It's a command, all right? It's a mandate. Well, our first commandment really looks pretty easy, but yet sometimes we find difficulty in following through. But if you understand, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your heart speaks of your passion, your motivations, you know, the thing within us that we would think that, you know, if things you're passionate about are the things that always get you excited, make you want to act and get up and move, okay? And sometimes what's in our heart is not God's word or God's purposes or what he said do, it's other things. So with all your heart, with all your soul is your emotions, your soul is your personality, the distinctive part of you, what makes you, you. And even though we're different, some are timid, some are outgoing, but that's your soul. And love God with that. Love God with your boldness, your timidity. Love God with whatever he's given you, whatever your soul indicates or expresses. Love God that with your mind. Your mind is your thoughts. Your thoughts, how you think, what you put your mind on, what you put in your mind. Come on, what you put in your mind. And in other words, with your total being. That's the point, right? With your total being. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So a lot of the issues you see today with people hating people and hurting people and rejecting people, it comes down to self-hatred. A lot of self-hatred going around today. People don't love themselves the way that we should. Now, I don't mean be in a conceited fashion. I mean the fact that we have to recognize if, quite plainly, I mean, that verse says it all. If I don't love myself, I won't love my neighbor. If you think there's something wrong with you or that God made a mistake or something, I mean, don't. Yes, we want to always have a sense in our heart of brokenness and repentance. That's one thing. I mean, to recognize a mistake is one thing. But to then categorize yourself as unworthy of God's love and to categorize yourself as undeserving of God's help and have self-loathing and self-hatred, that's not of God. And we know it because it reflects in how we treat other people. People hurting people, old saying is hurt people, hurt people. So let's get healed, let's get delivered, let's get loosed. Whatever you got to get done, get it done. Because, listen, y'all, it isn't just about you. It's about those around you. That getting help and getting healed and strengthened is not just going to help me, it'll help people around me. Amen, church? Amen. Law of love. Next law I'm going to give you here is the law of remembrance. Exodus 12. You can mark that in your Bible if you want to, or again, make notes. I want you to recognize this as an important principle. And I use the word remembrance, and I'll explain to you why after we read the text. Exodus 12, 15 says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there should be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day there should be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Now, this is going back to the Old Testament time, but the Bible says in Corinthians that things written aforetime, written for our learning. There's lessons to be learned in Old Testament scripture. God called for a holy convocation, that is, a gathering of God's people. And the Bible says, in this instance, that on the first day of the month, this would happen, the first day, on the first and seventh days, they would meet for these convocations. And in the convocation, they would, of course, worship and pray. But the main thing they did is to remember God's deliverance, to remember God's goodness. They gathered to say, Lord, thank you. for delivering us. You know, people forget sometimes what God brought them out of. Right? I mean, sometimes we look down on people who are needy, and you forget you were once needy. Hmm? We look down on folks who are angry. Hey, you were angry. So we want to make sure that, you know, in a holy convocation with God and God's people, we're setting aside all other concerns. Our agenda is being set aside. We're going to put first things first. And in this instance, they met on the first day and the seventh day to convene all to remember the everlasting ordinance in observing the day that God brought them out of Egypt. Now, why would God do that? Again, it's because God knows that we have a tendency to forget. We tend to let things drift from our minds and hearts. And we become, you know, the very people who act like we've never been saved or never had any trouble in our lives and never looked ugly one day. Come on, somebody. But he ugly. You've been ugly? I mean, all the stuff we say about folk, it almost always comes back on us some kind of way. Come on. So let's understand the fact. The law of remembrance is that principle by which we set aside time as a congregation, as a family, as individuals, and we have a solemn assembly, some versions say, and we assemble for one purpose, to remember the goodness of God. We don't ask for anything. Come on. We don't really get into a lot of teaching. We don't want to just, Lord, I want to just focus on one thing, remembering, because if you don't remember, you know what? If you don't study, you'll fail the test. If you're in school, you've been in school. What is studying? Remembering. What is studying? Remembering. Applying the lessons. Thinking about what you've been taught, what you've experienced. So that when it comes time for the test, you'll do what? Remember. And life is full of tests. And when you've been in convocation with God and the Holy Assembly with God and understand the law of remembrance, as James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testings, knowing. How do you know something? How do you know anything? You remembered it. How do I know it? I remembered it. How do I remember things? Experience and time, thinking about time with God, worshiping and blessing him and rehearsing in my mind and my heart what God has brought me through. Very important. And for a lack of that, man, we get lazy and greasy and silly. Come on. Right? Hey, I said greasy. That's what I said. Paint a picture for you. Come on. Look down and say, that's all a bunch of grease in there, boy. He go fry up some, like a hamburger sometime, or cheap ground beef. Look in there, it's like, where'd the beef go? Sometimes, man, we are so full of junk and the heat come on up, we just look like greasy hamburger. Come on, that's an off illustration. But you get the picture. We got to understand the holy convocation, the law of remembrance. I'm just touching things here today. I'm not going to even teach a lot. I'm just touching this and going to something else. Law of first fruits. Exodus 34, verse 19 says this. All that open the womb are mine. All you children and all of us. I mean, how many of us were born? All right. All of us came out of a womb. Amen. And every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep, but the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. Of all the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. And none shall appear before me empty-handed. This is powerful stuff. And we have the principle all throughout the Bible, first fruits. Say first. Again, we have to recognize this word first. I mean, we read the scripture in Matthew, seek first the kingdom. That first, that's God loves the word first. As far as he's concerned, he's first and everything else is second. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you count it all out. Whatever you got, whatever you have, whatever you can number in your life, whatever list you can make of what you possess and the people in your life and the things you may own and what you may operate in terms of ministry or business. I mean, you make a list, any list at all. And number one better be God. Come on, somebody. Now, here's how heavy it is. Now, of course, it's obvious that, you know, we read it before, when children are born, a firstborn son and all that has a birthright. But here's a curious verse here, that even when the donkey has what's a donkey baby called? I don't know. Horses have colts. What do donkey got? A colt. Okay. All right then. Now, the donkey is a little lower class, so we have to get a lamb to redeem the donkey, okay? The donkey's colt. Here's the point, though. He says, if you don't redeem it, you shall break its neck. Oh, God, don't break the neck of the colt. Why did God say that? He said it because anything that's not redeemed in your life ain't worth having anyway. It may as well be dead. It may as well be broken. It may as well be discarded. If we don't let God give God and put God first place in the things we have and the priorities God's placed in our life and the blessings he sends us, whether it's jobs or finance. I mean, get this. I mean, the donkey, forget the donkey. Think about the things God's given you. Now, of course, you know, the children, you know, that's different. But I'm saying, but when it comes to other things, like donkey type things, things that are not not naturally inheriting blessing. I mean, children inherit blessing from me. I mean, my children are blessed because they came out of my wife and I, right? And the potential's there. But a donkey, things you have like that, you have to deal with, you have to work with, you have to move that item from a place of just being secular to a place of being sacred. Right? The Bible does not say that money is the root of evil. What does the Bible say? So is money, okay, so money is, even money that's stolen, you know, by I almost say gangsters, but I said Wall Street. I mean, I mean, I'm saying all the thieves are not homies and all that stuff and handkerchief head folks. Come on. You've got a guy like, what's that guy's name? Madoff. Madoff, crook. Madoff and all that money. It's like Nabal. You know, I mean, he has a name like Nabal, which means fool, or like, he has a name that's like, yeah. Everybody should have saw that coming. Here's the point, though. If you do not consecrate that money, you don't redeem your money, that money will take you places you don't want to go. That money will warp our perspective and our values. And now you got people playing the lottery. You got Christians playing lottery. Yes. They got no idea what money is for. They haven't redeemed it. Right. So may as well just break its neck. Break it. I mean, whatever you get from the lottery is worthless. You may get a little money. Oh, I hit the number. I guarantee you that money will serve no purpose. That money will, in time, you're going to pay 10 times whatever you got by some purpose that was not godly. So recognize the fact that, you name it. I mean, I don't care if it's Ricky, Sally, are they redeemed? You better break that neck. Not break the neck. I don't mean break the, I mean break the relationship. You don't break people's necks. You wish you could. But I'm telling you, if it's not redeemed, you don't even want it. Just break his neck, get rid of it, because it's not going to be useful. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a thorn in your side. It's a strange scripture. That's the sense of it. That God is so serious about first fruits that whatever comes out first, if you don't give it to God, listen, whatever we do not give to God first is not going to really count to God. See, God doesn't want second, third, fourth best. You can't, we got to give God First fruits. Otherwise, it might as well break his neck. I don't even want that. I don't even need it. I don't recognize it. You understand that? Then he says here that and you shall not appear before me empty-handed. Whoa, what's that up there for? And none shall appear before me empty-handed. Isn't that something? Why did he say that? What's the point? Why are you going to God for? Why would we ever come to God with nothing in our hands, nothing to give God, nothing to share with God, nothing to ask God to bless, nothing to ask God to give us insight and wisdom on? See, religious people are empty-handed because all they care about is the appearance of being in God's presence. So they can say, you know, I worship God today, and I did this, that. But they're empty. They don't bring to God what God wants. They don't put first things first. So get the principle. Law of first fruits is whatever we give birth to belongs to God. Whatever we bring into our lives must be redeemed before God can find it useful. Now listen, y'all, it's not a big deal because we know that as simple as this, just pray and thank God. The Bible says even New Testament, that there are people today who want to say you can't eat certain things. Well, the Bible says, you know, you can eat anything you want as long as you consecrate it first. Now, I don't mean you should eat anything. You should eat this anything. But it's not like if you eat pork, God is mad at you. There are folk who are like that. They say, well, I can't eat no pork. Why? Because God said don't eat it. He told you don't eat it. But the Bible says if you redeem it, you can eat it. Come on, somebody. And there are places in the world you're going to go visit sometime in the world that, man, you know, you're going to starve to death. I ain't eating that. It's the mission field. Like Mike Keith said, they got filet of Fido over there. Dog. Now, I'm going to stash me something somewhere because if it come down to that, man, I'm getting my energy bar out of something. But the thing, I mean, it's really, but listen, it don't matter. If God redeems something, he redeemed us, didn't he?
Yes.
Once it's redeemed, it's changed. Say, once it's redeemed, it's changed. All right, I'm done. Not done yet preaching, though, okay? I got more to share with you. Now, so first things first. Get this little taste of what I believe God is saying, living by God's agenda. And all throughout the Bible, there are many principles, like the four I just showed you. And the first, most important of which being, again, Matthew, what Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom. Now, I want to impress upon us here today, into this year, going into a new year, that it's important for all of us to put first things first, to go and look at the Word of God and take God seriously and recognize that whatever, you know, God says is right. Amen. So whatever God says, say it. Whatever God says is right.